Please pray with me. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in us the fire of your love. Amen. Please be seated. At some point, we all had to accept the truth that we can't make someone love us. We can think we can, but that's wishful thinking. And in extreme cases, it's an abuse of our power over someone. Authentic love, real love, is a gift. Love is real only when it's freely given and freely received. And nobody loves God because they were told they were supposed to. We love God because God first gave us the gift of God's love. And our desire to know and love God is a response to being loved. This love, like all real love, can't be forced or dictated by law. Now, there are lots of laws and rules in the Bible and established ways and traditions, but these are like teaching tools for us to learn how to love God. And we can think of them like patterns or blueprints of how to love God and each other. These are God's best ways for living and being. Now, the rules and the traditions are the agreements between God and us on how to love authentically. To love is how God has designed love. And these provide an opportunity for us to be in relationship and serve God and others as God wants us to. And we do it with a heartfelt response because we want to be connected to God. And here is the most vital guideline and often the most challenging. Jesus tells us to have that connection with God, we need to be connected to each other. We can't only love God. Jesus tells us that we have to demonstrate our love for God as we are loving each other. Our collect this morning sums it up really well. Lord of power and might, author and giver of all good things. By the way, we're all one of those good things. Graft in our hearts the love of your name. Increase in us true religion, nourish us with all goodness, and bring forth in us the fruits of good works. Whether or not you knew you were doing this, when we said this prayer, we were asking God to join us to God's self in an inseparable way, in a way that makes us live because we are joined into God's actual self. If it wasn't for this, there is no way that we could love the way God wants us to love. And God loves all his creation, including each and every one of us and everyone else in this world. The next part of our prayer of the collect says, graft in our hearts the love of your name. Now, grafting is really an amazing thing. It means to unite or to attach or to join into something in such a way that was once separate is now one. Fruit trees are grafted. And to do this, you take a branch from one tree and you cut it off and you join it to a planted tree or what's called the rootstock. And once joined, the rooted tree produces all the nourishment for the branch that was grafted to it, and it becomes one fully integrated tree. And then this new branch that's grafted to the tree, it ends up having all the elements of what was two separate trees. And you can graft as many branches as you want to the rooted tree. And like on one side will grow a peach, and on the other side a plum, and on the other side a nectarine. And the identity of the whole original tree is now changed. It becomes a tree that produces a variety of fruits. It's now a peach plum nectarine tree. And this morning, we have prayed to be grafted, to join to God in an inseparable way. We asked God to increase in us true religion and nourish us with all goodness so that we can produce or bring forth good works, the outward signs of our love for God, experienced through our service and expressed through that service to others. Now, true religion sounds like a claim of being associated with the one and only right religion, and that somehow all other religions are wrong. And that is not what this means. Our Bishop Diane Bruce wrote about it in her weekly letter, and she wrote, "True religion is not one that is stagnant. It is through the ongoing revelation of God in Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit that we understand what God is calling us. That," she says, "is true religion." True religion, right relationship with God, is what God began before us humans got involved trying to regulate and therefore reduce what God started. True religion is when God is the guiding force and we're open to the ongoing, increasing understanding of God's call because we're grafted to God. The Holy Spirit is in us. You know, in the beginning, God created from love and out of love beings in God's own image. Beings that lived and loved, knowing they were completely interdependent on God, united to God, grafted to the source of all, joined into one because of that love. Well, then, because they were humans, they began to think about better ways of going about life, and they came up with some things that were not exactly in line with God's original plan. And we all know the story of Adam and Eve and how well it worked out for them to not follow God's plan. Since then, God has been reaching out to human beings with ideas of how to be in relationship with God, with ourselves, and with each other. You know, God's suggestions for living well were incredibly detailed and specific in the Old Testament. I guess people needed that level of guidance. And even with all of that, they struggled to live as God asked. I mean, that's what the Bible is. It's full of stories of God's interaction with people, trying to get them to live like God designed for them to live. And the people stumbled through it, and they followed some of the messages, and some they didn't. And eventually, even some of the religious leaders began to add traditions onto God's law. And eventually, those no longer reflected God's intentions. That's what Jesus was protesting in our gospel this morning. The extra washing of hands before eating wasn't a rule from God, or even a practice for cleanliness as we understand it now. This extra washing grew as a tradition of the elders, of the religious authorities, and they began to use it as a tool to judge people and to consider people as less than. You know, the wealthy, and therefore the powerful, they had access to water to frequently wash their hands. And Jesus' disciples and all the other poor didn't. So this was a quick way to judge people and to separate them from being good enough or not. And that's what the Pharisees were doing. And Jesus was right on it. Listen to me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside a person, like dirt on your hands, that defiles or makes a person unholy or not worthy. It's the evil intentions that are in your heart that can make a person unclean. Over and over again, Jesus shows us exactly how we're to be, how we're to live. His life, his death, all his experiences, his teachings, they're all to show us exactly how we're to live truly grafted to God. And it's not about following the laws or traditions for the sake of the law or the tradition. It's about understanding the purpose behind them so we can more effectively love God and love one another. Because if a law is used to abuse or separate someone, then it isn't true to its purpose to bring us close to God and to each other. Jesus puts all God's laws into perspective for us in his summary of the law. And we all know it. It seems so simple. Love God, love yourself, and love others. He compresses all the laws, all the rules and traditions into one all-encompassing way of being. Live loving. Love God, yourself, and others. Oh, that can be really hard to do sometimes. But Jesus says that when we love, it needs to be from our hearts, from our connection, our graft to God. This way, we love with God's intention of love, not with any other intention that we might operate from, you know, to appear good or more spiritual than someone else, or to relieve our guilt or to bar our way into something. I mean, there are so many less than authentic ways to love. In our second reading, James makes it really clear. He's exact and specific. Being religious, pure and undefiled before God, means to live caring for orphans and widows, caring for the most vulnerable and those unable to care for themselves, no matter what. And it includes everyone who can't take care of themselves, no matter what the reason. Real love and care is given because the other needs it, not based on if they deserve it or if they qualify for it by any of our standards. God's way is to love. And living as a follower means to love no matter what the details are or who the person is. As God's, we are invited to living this way, to live loving God, ourselves, and each other, and the most vulnerable people. This is living grafted to God. So whatever it is that we may think or might do that separates us from others, it separates us from God. Even our loved traditions and rituals need to be examined. Do these invite or reject people? Do we offer love or judgment? Is there welcome or exclusion? I know, this is hard to do. Yet it is our invitation from God. You know, Jesus hung out with the sinners and the outcasts of society for a reason. He liked to upset the authorities and challenge preconceived notions. You know, he did that intentionally. But all those people, they were not all that different from any of us. You know, they were people who really needed God. Jesus was with the most vulnerable, the sinners and the outcasts. And when he did that, he demonstrated that God sees right through to each person's heart. God sees the value in everyone. God sees past the literal and the proverbial dirt, whatever makes people be considered less than or unworthy. and this part really hurts. God even sees right through the cleaned up versions we present to the world so that we can be considered enough. God even sees through the stuff we tried to keep hidden about ourselves from ourselves. These traditions, these rules, these laws, they're all there to help us draw closer to God. And we draw closer to God through loving God and all that God creates, our world, ourselves, and all the people, even the difficult ones, because we are all somebody else's difficult one. The New Testament tells us that how we act must be from love or else it'll be empty. So what we say and what we do reveals who we are and whose we are. And thankfully, because of the presence of the Holy Spirit in us, with every loving act, we are transformed and we become more Christ-like. We can love like Jesus loves. So when we hear that we are to love someone, especially a stranger, remember it's with that agape love, love that isn't dependent on a feeling. It's love expressed through actions of putting the other first. In biblical times, the heart was not the place of emotions or feelings. The heart was considered the center of control for your mind and your will. The heart influenced thoughts and actions. Heartfelt love are actions of God-like love, even when we don't want to or don't like it, let alone when we don't feel loving towards the other person. Agape love is from the center of our being that is grafted to God, inseparable from God. Jesus often broke the religious traditions and the social norms, and he purposely did it to upset those around him so they could consider the value of these rules and traditions. Jesus wants people to more fully understand the reason behind them. And if it isn't about loving God and loving each other, then it's moving us away from God rather than closer to God's desire that all the love is used so that we act with love, not because of some tradition or regulation. This is true religion, expressing our love for God and each other through our actions. And we demonstrate our love by how we are with each other and the most vulnerable in our world. And with the presence of the Holy Spirit and with Jesus' teachings and example, we can do this. That's the only way we can do this. We can be God's love to a very hurting world. And when we live this way, that graft, that inseparable union of God and each and every one of us, it just gets stronger and stronger. Amen.